So we're going to pray right now and ask God just to move. Father, we give you thanks. You know, it says in the Psalms, the psalmist says, "Oh, how I love thy law. I meditate on it day and night." And we need to meditate upon your word, God, and we come here today to sit at your feet to receive from your holy word. Now, Father, we lift up Pastor John as he brings forth your word today. Lord, let the Spirit of God move upon him and through him and on up our hearts. And may we not just be hearers of the word, but may we be doers of the word also. And Father, we ask you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Well, last week, if you were here, you may remember that we saw that everybody faces a multitude of trials and tribulations throughout our lifetime. And we saw that having problems is the regular part of every person's life, including Christians. And that there's no way for any of us to avoid facing problems. I mean, they just happen. Things happen, right? And it's a regular part of all of our lives. And it's actually a promise, in fact, of God's, that we're going to be having trouble. In John 16:33, it says, "In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." So Jesus warns us that we're going to have trouble, but on the other hand, he encourages us at the same time by telling us that he has overcome the world and that in him we can also be overcomers. In 1 Peter 4:12, we're told, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you." There's nothing strange about having things go bad. Things just sometimes go bad. You leave food out, it goes bad. You know, you leave your lawnmower outside. I mean, it's going to get rusty. You leave your tools out, like I used to leave my dad's tools outside when I was a kid. He would always get mad because we'd find them a month later and they'd be all rusty. I don't know if you ever did that. I'm sure most of you have. But all these trials and all these things that we go through, the troubles, the tribulations, they can either make us or they can break us, depending on how we respond to them, how we deal with them. And if we deal with them as God wants us to, then God will use those very trials to make us into a conquering warrior for him. See, that's what he's really doing, is he allows these things to come our way so that they will train us, they will build us up, they will test us, they will purify us, they will strengthen us. Last week we looked at some of the many trials that the Apostle Paul went through and discovered, in fact, some of the lessons that he had learned. And if you remember, at one time, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was fighting God. Remember, he was the guy that was out there tracking down, hunting down, and making sure Christians were thrown in prison or killed. And so here he was fighting God, and he had to be taught a lesson by God. He had to go through this trial, this tribulation. He got, you know, stopped on the road on the way to Damascus, and he was blinded. God's a good teacher. He knows what needs to be done. Paul, being such a strong man, just a kind word probably wouldn't have changed his mind. But when the heavens open up and God himself speaks to Paul, and then he confirms it by literally blinding him and then sending somebody that he never knew to come over and pray for him and all these different things to happen, Paul knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was working in his life. So he accepted God's call on his life then, and he ran with it. I mean, he really ran with it all over the world. Therefore, he was at peace because he had this relationship with God. He was at peace, and he was able to go through whatever God put him through because he knew that he belonged to God. Remember, he told the guys on the boat, if you were here last week or heard the message, "You know, I am a servant of God. I am his. I belong to him." Once we stop fighting God and we submit our will and our plans to his will and his plans and his purposes, then we will have this inner peace, this peace that passes all understanding, this peace that was similar to what Paul had, so that we can face these trials and tribulations and not only face them, but come out on the other side victoriously, knowing that God is right there with us. In Paul's own words, he wants us to know something. He wants us to know it. And so he tells us in Romans 8:37 that in all these things, and he's talking about all these troubles, all these consequences, all these problems, all these things that are going on, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. God wants you to know today. He wants you to know right now. He wants you to know and understand that he has the ability. God has the ability, not you, but God has the ability to make you, more than a conqueror. It doesn't matter what you think of yourself. I don't care if you think you're a wimp, a weakling, a failure. It doesn't matter if you think you've blown it 1,000 times, if you think you could never do it. God says he can do it. If you accept God's call and put your trust in him, you will become a conquering warrior. There's a story in Judges chapter 6, that I love. It's about a young man who didn't think he had it in him to be a conqueror. He didn't think he had it in him to be a warrior. But God called him out. God called him. And he accepted that call. He obeyed. There was a little bit of complaining there, actually. And it was in Judges chapter 6, verse 12, it starts, and it says, "When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" Mighty warrior. That's what he called him, a mighty warrior. And he goes, "Pardon me, Lord?" Gideon replied, "But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" Haven't we thought that sometimes? Man, if God's with me, how come I'm going through all this stuff? If God really loved me, why do I have to go through this? God, please, can't you just take away this stuff? I'm so tired. I'm having a hard time. I'm struggling with this. God, please. And so he says, "If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?'" They heard all those stories about going through the sea and the plagues and the Egyptians being drowned and all these different things that happened, the manna, the quail in the desert, the food, the water out of rocks. I mean, all kinds of stories that were, he'd heard. He grew up and he heard all these things. And he's saying, "What about me? What about us? How come, what's going on with us? We're like, we're dirt here. I mean, we're having a hard time. Did the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." Do you think God really abandoned them? No. God needed to teach them a lesson. "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?'" "Pardon me, Lord. Can I say something?" Gideon replied. "But how can I save Israel? Little old me? You want me to go save the nation?" Imagine him in this place. "My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. I'm just a punk." "The Lord answered, 'I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive.'" How do you like that? "I will be with you, and you're going to be a warrior." So Gideon starts out. After a time, he finally gathers a bunch of people. He gets 32,000 warriors to go after the Midianites. And then God does this thing where he tells them, "Nah, send everybody home that doesn't really want to go. So 22,000 of them left. So you had 10,000 left. You know how many Midianites there were? 120,000. Then God says, you know what? 10,000 is way too many. So he has them go through this other thing where they go down and they get a drink of water, and some guys do it one way and some do it another way, and 300 of them went like this and drank it and kept their eyes peeled. And God says, those are the ones I want. So send the other 9,700 home and just keep 300. And Gideon's probably thinking, okay, Lord, if that's what you say. And God told him, or it says right in there, that the reason he did this is because he didn't want them to think that they had done it by their own strength. They needed to understand that it didn't matter if they were weak, that it was God with them, God in them, that was going to accomplish this victory. And so they went out and they destroyed 120,000 Midianites. And it says they won a complete and total victory. So he became more than a conqueror. So how do we do this? 1 John 5:4 says, for everyone born of God, I would hope that's everyone in here, and if it's not, please come and see us after church. We have prayer up here, and we're more than happy to help you be born again, be born of God. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. When we are born again and we become part of God's family, we become one of His children, then we have the ability to walk in this conquering power by faith. We need to have faith in the truth of God's Word, in His character, and in His ability, in His wisdom, and in His victory, so that we can walk in it, so that we can hear what He says, so that we can accomplish what He wants, so that we can go out and do it. When we really have faith in that, God will bring us through that. But in all this, we have to remember that we have to be walking in His plan, not our plan. We are answering His call, not the desires of our flesh. We are serving His purpose and seeking His kingdom, not ours. That's where faith comes in. There's a lot of people out there that have a faith message that can get, they think they can get whatever they want just by believing hard enough. It doesn't work that way. It has to be what God wants. We believe what God wants for us. In Hebrews chapter 11, we see there's an honor roll of people of faith. Noah, Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Daniel, and all kinds of people. It talks about some of their exploits, and all of these people were commended by God because of their faith. Hebrews 11:6-7 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Without faith, without believing in God's call and walking it out, none of these people would have ever had the victories that they had. But God spoke to him. God spoke to Noah and told him to build the ark. He did it. God spoke to Moses, told him to get his people out of Egypt. He did it. God spoke to Abraham, told him he would have a child and be the father of many nations, to sacrifice his son, to do all, and he did it. He believed. Without faith, none of them, if they hadn't believed, they would have given up, or they wouldn't even have started. I mean, think of Noah building an ark as big as he built it, and there had never been rain. It didn't rain before the ark was built. The water came up out of the ground. It just came up and watered the plants that way. There was no such thing as rain. And all of a sudden, as he says, it's going to rain for 40 days. Maybe you heard the old Bill Cosby album, Rain, Lord? What's rain? Jesus said that everything is possible for one who believes. But who believes what? We have to believe what God has said. Not what the one who wants something has said. Big, big difference. Jesus, in John 5:19 said, Truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. See, Jesus said what the Father told him to say. He tells us that in his word. He did what the Father told him to do. That's why everything that he said happened. That's why everything that he did was successful, because he only did what the Father told him to do. He only said what the Father told him to say. He had complete and total faith in his relationship with his Father. He knew that he was walking in his purpose, in his calling, in his destiny. He knew that what he was doing, he knew he was going to the cross. He knew that he was going to minister, and he knew that he was going to do miracles. He knew that he was going to, you know, bring salvation and forgiveness and all these things. We also saw in Hebrews what the enemy of faith is. It's unbelief. Hebrews 3:19 says, so we see that they were not able to enter the promised land because of their unbelief. All the way back in the book of Numbers, if you remember, Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land. The promised land was the land that God promised the Israelites. That's why it's called the promised land. This was the word he gave them. This is what everybody knew it. All the whole Israel all knew. This was the land that God has promised us. This is our land. This land is our land. You know? You're probably singing that, you know? So two of them came back. That was Joshua and Caleb, and said, we can do it. We can take the land. It's our land because, why? Because the Lord is with us. They saw the giants. They saw the fortified cities. They saw the armies. They saw the cities. Well, the other 10 saw all that too. And they came back. And in their fear and in their unbelief, they spread a bad report that caused all of Israel to reject God's promise, to reject his word, his calling, his purpose, his destiny. And they all threw it away because of the unbelief. Because of this, they all died in the desert, and none of them entered in to God's promise, to the promised land. All but two, Joshua and Caleb, who did believe. So this bad report that these guys spread, you know, it's the same thing that we hear today. From all around us, telling us that God is not relevant, God is not true, the Bible was just written by a bunch of men. God doesn't care about us. God's an absentee landlord. God just, you know, he's not really, you know, interested in us. Oh, there are many gods. Whatever it is, there's all kinds of bad reports. And there's more than that. It's not just about God. It's just about everything about us, around us, about our world, our country, our lives, our family, everything. All we hear is bad reports. And so we live in this this area, this land, in this unbelief, and sometimes it's just all around us, and we're stuck right in the middle of it. And if we do live in it, I mean, if we accept it, then we can't please God. And then we can't live in the land of His promise. We can't receive the victory that He already won for us. Even though he's already paid the price, even though it's already done, we won't get it if we don't have faith and believe in it and conquer these things that get in our way. You know, every great invention, every great accomplishment, every, you know, great enterprise, every business, everything, all these things are successful because somebody had faith in that business. I believe if I make a coffee shop, people will come. it worked. You know, they had faith in the vision that they had. They had faith in their ability to carry it out. How much greater is the object of our faith? Jesus. He's much more successful than Starbucks. He will last for all eternity. He's much more successful than any other invention or enterprise or accomplishment. He's more important. And if our faith is in Him, if we put our faith in Him, then His great power, that power then will come to us, and it will put us in a position then to be more than a conqueror. What is the source of the power? It tells us right in there, the source of the power that will be in us. In Romans 8:37, it says, the one we already read, in all these things we are more than conquerors. How? Through Him. Through Him who loved us. Through Him who? Through Jesus. Jesus is our secret weapon. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we get the victory, through our Lord. We have faith. We believe that He's real, that His Word is real. Our standing as victors, our standing as mighty conquerors is not based on the battles that we fight. Because if we only could use those battles, the results of those battles, to claim whether we were an overcomer, to claim whether we were a conqueror, we'd probably be failures. Because we don't win all the battles. Nobody does. None of us do. We try, but we're human. We mess up. Even Paul said, the very thing that I want, that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And the very thing that I do want to do, he doesn't end up doing. He was just being honest. Sure, he was faithful. He was a good man, but he was still telling us that, you know what? I'm not perfect. I'm blowing it. None of us are perfect. We aren't victorious because we won the battle. We are victorious. Our victory is based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's why we're warriors. That's why we're conquerors. That's why we're overcomers. That's why we're going to be victorious, because the ultimate victory has already been won. We just have to enter into that. It doesn't matter that we are weak. In fact, it's exactly what we need to realize and admit. Sure, we're weak. Sure, we blow it. Otherwise, we would just trust in ourselves. That's why God didn't want Gideon to have 32,000 warriors or even 10,000 warriors. He did not want them to trust in their strength. He wanted them to see themselves as weak, 300 people against 120,000. How'd you like to have those odds? God works best when we realize and admit and realize that we need His help. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." This is Paul talking, and he says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, in trials and tribulations. For when I am weak, then I am strong." What he's saying is every time he comes up against a real struggle, every time he's about ready to fail, every time he thinks something's going to fall apart, every time he realizes he knows he just can't make it, he's ready to give up, He says, then I get strong because I give it over to God and I get His strength. I get His power in me. That's the only way we can really get strong. That's one reason why James tells us that we can count our trials as joy. Not only do they mature us, which is definitely truth, but they give God room to work in our life. When we come up against something that we just can't handle and we finally turn to God and God brings us through it, then, you know, we see that we begin to grow, we begin to get strong. And so we can be joyful in that. God, through His Holy Spirit, desires to work in us and He desires to see us victorious. And you know why He does that? You know why He wants to do that? Because He loves us. Remember, it says, we are more than conquerors through Him. Through Him what? Through Him who loved us. It's because of His love for us that He saved us. And it's because of His love for us that He's going to be there for us. It's because of His love that He's going to empower us and strengthen us and bring us through those trials when we finally learn to depend on Him. Otherwise, we just keep going through troubles. We just keep failing again and again and again and again, and we never learn the lesson until we finally give in and say, okay, God, I give up. I can't do this myself. And He says, finally. What is it that we're to conquer? The answer is anything that would separate us or prevent us from drawing close to God. And that's what all those things do. Sure, they freak us out. They give us headaches. They give us problems. But what happens is a lot of times they sort of take us away from God if we don't turn to God. And God wants us to know that none of our trials, none of our tribulations have to have authority over us. We can let them knock us down and destroy us, or we can just say, you know what? Yeah, I'm going through this thing, but I'll deal with it, and God will be right there with me, and I'll come out on the other side, and it may look terrible today, but you know what? I know that my God will bring me through this, and I'll be okay. And what's the worst that can happen to me? I die and go to heaven. One of the great schemes of the enemy is to use the bad reports, to use the trials, the fear, the anxiety, the hardships, the persecutions, the failures, to put a wedge between us and God. He loves to do this. He's always out to destroy us. He's always out there to defeat us. And He'll use every disaster, any disaster, to try to make us angry at God. He'll try to use prosperity to make us forget about God. He'll use fear to make us hide from God. He'll use depression or discouragement to lose hope in God. He'll try to use anything and everything to tear us away from our God who was willing to die for us. But every time the enemy throws something at us, we can not only defeat it through God's power in us, mainly through the Holy Spirit, but we can take that very thing and use it to bring us closer to God. He attacks you, you pray harder. Fine. You do that to me, I'm going to spend more time with God. Stick it in His face. In ancient Greece, there was a very famous trading center. It was a city called Rhodes. And this city was under attack one time by a general named Demetrius. And he was about to claim victory after many months of battle and trying to lay siege to the city. And the citizens of Rhodes realized that they were about to lose their city and probably their lives as well. And so they decided to make one last stand, one last all-out effort and counterattack. They wanted to go after the invading army. They were building ramps, siege ramps going up the side of their walls. They were getting close. They knew that sooner or later they were just going to come over the top like ants, and they wouldn't be able to get them all. So they decide to just, like I said, they make these plans to just go for it. So they're out there building their ramps and getting ready, and all of a sudden, all the people from Rhodes, every fighting person that there was, decides to come out and attack the attacking army. And the invaders were so shocked that they dropped everything they had. They ran away. They left behind their weapons. They left behind their armor. They left behind all the siege equipment, all the stuff they were using to build scaffolding and ramps and all that. They left it all there. And they ran away in fear because they thought they were about to be destroyed. And so from all the captured material, there was all kinds of bronze shields and weapons and, you know, and all kinds of catapults and all kinds of stuff that they had there. And what they did is they took all that, they sold a lot of it, and they took all the brass and steel, and they made something called the Colossus of Rhodes. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but it was a giant statue that was about 100 feet high, 98 feet and 4 inches high. There's records of it. It's all throughout history. Everybody knows this was a real thing. It stood at the harbor, guarding the entrance to the harbor of the city of Rhodes, and it stood there for 56 years, this giant statue. And it stood there watching over them, and what happened was, instead of being defeated, they became the victors, and instead of being just the victor, they became even more than a conqueror because they turned the very weapons that were used against them into this giant, you know, beautiful statue that became one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, 100-foot-high statue guarding the entrance to their city. And I can't help but think of Jesus. It reminds me, in a way, of the same type of story when he died on the cross. And it looked like the battle was over. And Satan and all his demons were probably dancing and celebrating the death of the Son of God, the Savior, the hope of all mankind. And all of Jesus' followers were confused and bewildered and frustrated and fearful and distraught. They were demoralized. They didn't know what to do. Remember the apostles, they went and hid out. They went up and locked themselves in a room. They were scared. They thought they were going to be arrested. All his followers fled except for just a couple. But then on the third day, Jesus, who the demons thought they had killed, and who they thought was dead and buried, never to come back again, came back. And it was the greatest display ever seen, because Jesus not only rose from the dead, but he destroyed the power of sin. He destroyed the power of death. He set the captives free and destroyed all the hopes and the plans of the enemy, all with that one move. He not only conquered the death when he came back to life, he was more than a conqueror. And you know why? Because he used the enemy's own plans to fulfill his great plan. He released millions upon millions from the slavery of sin and from certain death. And God handed that same power now over to us. That same authority, he handed over to us. He gives it to us now. And now we have that power to use over the one who wants to destroy us. Jesus defeated him and made a mockery of him. He triumphed over him and made a mockery of him. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is right in here, inside of you. Jesus was definitely more than a conqueror. He was a conquering warrior. And now he says, I'm building you into my army of conquering warriors too. That same power that gave Satan his crushing defeat is working in you. It's alive in you. It's percolating in there. And it's got to be sort of motivated by our faith. We have to believe it's in there. We have to, when confronted with these trials and these tribulations, when confronted with sin, when confronted with whatever, we have to then stir up through faith that power that's within us. And remember the Word of God that says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That all these things are going to work out to my good. That it's going to happen. It's going to work. God has commissioned you to be His conquering warrior. He has called you. He has destined you to put your faith in Jesus and to be more than a conqueror. And just like He said to Gideon, I'll say it to you right now. The Lord is with you, mighty warriors. Just like Gideon, pardon me? I know some of you are thinking, well, I'm telling you, it's not because you can do it. It's because God in you can do it. The Lord is with you, mighty warriors. You are blessed and highly favored. Right, Alex? That's for you that don't really think it yet. Maybe you don't. Everybody here I know is at a different place with Christ. Nobody's at exactly the same stage. And you might be thinking, well, they've been, you know, Christian for a lot longer than me. That doesn't hold any water. God's no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of the time persons have been with Him. Remember the story about the guys working out in the vineyard there and they all got paid the same? The guys that worked from morning all the way through until night and the guys that came in the last hour or two? Jesus said, what's it to you? I'll pay them whatever I want. And it's the same thing with His power that's in you. I don't care if you got saved 5 minutes ago or 5 years ago or 50 years ago. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you know the Word back and forward or you know maybe one verse. Maybe you don't even know one. If God is in you, if He has called you, if you've given your life to Christ, if you've accepted Him, received Him as your Lord and Savior, there's something going on inside of you. There's some power in there. The Lord is with you, mighty warriors. Let's close in prayer. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Maybe you want that power. You want to see it happen in your life. You want to be able to overcome your trials. Come on up and get some prayer. Come on up and get some prayer. That's why we make it available. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You. We thank You so much that You have called us. We thank You that You have rescued us from darkness, from a life of hopelessness and despair, and You brought us into Your light, into Your truth, into a relationship with Jesus Christ. We thank You that You're making us into mighty warriors, into conquering warriors, into people who are more than conquerors. Thank You, Jesus, for all that You've done for us, all that You're doing, and all that You're going to do as we step out in faith for You, Lord God. Lord, we just praise You today. We thank You. We give You all the honor and glory, Lord God, for You alone are worthy. Lord, I pray Your blessing upon each person here, each person that hears this message, upon the food upstairs, the snacks upstairs, Lord God, and we ask Your blessing upon the fellowship and the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.